Before the restrictions placed on Catholics in this country and so many of the dioceses, we would often hear people say, "I don't have to go to Mass to find God." Now, there's a lot of truth to that statement. We can find God anywhere. But that said, as Catholic Christians, we believe that nowhere else do we meet and receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as we do in the Eucharistic celebration. And I thank you for your presence here this morning in our Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes and those watching in home. A more accurate statement might be to say that we don't come to church to find God. We come here to celebrate and to give thanks for the many ways that we have already found Him to be present in our daily lives. The care that you show for your families, your neighbors, your efforts to live the gospel at work, in your neighborhoods, at home. The reality is, if we don't find God in our daily lives, we probably won't find Him in the church either. We can't be atheists in our daily lives and believers 1 hour a week at Mass. If each one of us is not searching for God and we're not open to His presence each day, then it's unlikely that God has ever been able to touch us, to show His presence. Which leads to our readings this morning. We heard in our first passage about the prophet Elijah on Mount Sinai. This passage is about the search for God in the midst of catastrophic human loss. Some background is necessary for our understanding of this reading. Elijah lived in the 9th century before Jesus. He was one of the great prophets and a very powerful and successful preacher of God's word. But the king had married a foreign queen, Jezebel. And when Elijah and some other prophets opposed the pagan worship she had introduced, the queen vowed to kill them all. This she did, except for Elijah, who fled for his life in the southern desert. And there he lay under a broom tree and fell into a deep depression. He asked God to let him die because of the burdens he carried and his belief that he had failed as a prophet. The worship of God had been abolished. The people had now turned to false gods, and Jezebel's men were tracking him down to kill him. All the status and security he had enjoyed in his vocation and in his powerful prophetic ministry had vanished. But an angel came and gave him food. He was encouraged, and after a good sleep, he rose, began his journey until he came to Mount Zion, where God appears to Moses at the time of Exodus. But there's Elijah's doubts and insecurity. They return. Doubts about himself. Was he up to the task? Doubts about the God he was called to serve. This is what happens so often in our lives when things get difficult. Elijah thought, was he really a prophet? Had God really called him? He remembered the Exodus stories about God's appearance to Moses on Mount Zion in wind and earthquake and fire, and he decided to test things to see if God was really Himself and confirm His calling to be a prophet. Elijah thought, would God do for me what He did for Moses? And that's where we pick up our reading this morning. God had told Elijah that He would reveal Himself on the mountain once again, but he was to leave his safe place, the cave, and stand on the mountainside. But instead, as we heard of experiencing a mighty upheaval of nature, as Moses had witnessed, God revealed Himself in a tiny whispering sound. Some scholars have speculated that perhaps God did not approve of Elijah's meanness, his ruthless temperament, and God wanted to teach him that nature's wonders were not the most important way of communicating His will. Rather, God would reveal Himself in the prophet's innermost being, his conscience, his deepest feelings, his heart. He didn't have to climb a mountain at all. He simply had to be still and listen in his heart. Elijah recognized then that God had not abandoned him at all. On the contrary, he had been with him all along, even in the darkest times. And so he returns to his vocation with a renewed sense of security, purpose, and courage. Which leads to us here on this summer morning and to a fundamental question. Is there any room for the quiet whisper of God in our daily lives? Now, I know the responsibilities of raising children, no matter their age. It's very difficult to find quiet. We may think to ourselves, we're uncomfortable with quiet because we're constantly bombarded by sound. We're culturally conditioned to a high level of distraction throughout most of our days, and many people are uncomfortable with silence. So many falsely believe that silence doesn't give us any cues about what we're supposed to do. We run with a noisy herd of people, and it's much easier to do that than to listen silently in our hearts for God. But there's no way that you and I can make progress on our spiritual journey of faith unless we make room for some reflective silence in our lives. But then there's our gospel this morning. We turn from the God who reveals himself in the silence to the God who reveals himself in a storm. It's almost the opposite of what happened in the first reading. This is what Elijah asked for but did not get. But the result is a surprise when God does reveal himself in the storm, as we heard in this gospel account. The apostles don't recognize Jesus, and even Peter's faith falters when the waves threaten. Why were they not able to recognize the Lord? The reason is they have not yet learned to recognize him in the silence. All of us have storms in our lives from time to time. Responsibilities of family and work and school and illness and past mistakes. And never probably in the last 75 or so years have we collectively experienced the pressure and stress and fear of the unexpected as we have during this pandemic. If we want to recognize God who is present during the stormy times of our life, then we have to make room for him to be present in the silence of our lives. And this cannot happen without letting go of a few things. We may ask ourselves, letting go of what? Well, maybe it's that letting go of the need to buy more and more unnecessary things. It may be a grudge against someone, or the need to always win or have the last word, or do only what we know we're good at, or what others will be impressed by. We may need to examine our priorities, and some of them will have to go. Maybe we need to be reconciled with someone, and that may involve letting go of our own pride and stubbornness. And we may find the time is necessary for added prayer as we navigate this time of great uncertainty. The fact is, when we're willing to make the effort to let go of some things, we make room for God to be present in our lives. And we want to experience God so often on our own terms, but it doesn't work that way. In his will is our peace. Essentially, God tells Elijah, if only you'll let go of your desire to compete with Moses, to see me only where you think I will be, then you're ready to meet me on my own terms. And Elijah did this, and the experience was so powerful, he hid his face in his cloak. Now, the apostles had not yet learned this lesson, and thus over the roar of the wind and the waves, the apostles heard that gentle voice of Jesus, courage, it's I, do not be afraid. A reminder to us all that to live by faith means to trust in God and to rely on his infinite power and his help. He won't carry us, but he'll uphold us if we let go. Vincent de Paul had a great quote, there's not an extended hand that the Lord will not grasp, but you and I have to extend our hand out, and that takes effort and trust. It means also taking a risk. And with modern life, with its emphasis on security, its distrust of the unknown and our own pride, it doesn't make faith easy. In fact, for many, it may seem foolish. As we continue our Mass then this morning, inspired and challenged by our readings, we are strengthened also by the Eucharist. Let us be reminded that God does allow us to experience failures and frustrations because they're valuable moments that help us trust, but only if we extend our hand and our hearts out to God. Even a little faith like Peter's is enough to make one call out to God. And it is in our weakness that we will find the saving hand of God. It is our fears that we will discover the new courage that he gives. For our help is in the name of the Lord.